So for those who have just joined us, I want you to know that, yes, you are on the third day of Smartest 2008, and we are going to start this morning with our first presenter, Joan Stewart. Good morning, Joan. How are you?
Good morning. I am so honored to be here. I thought the panel on Friday was fabulous, and I'm so honored to be among all these terrific art experts who you have recruited to do this telesummit. I was fascinated with what everybody had to say.
Oh, Joan, and we are so grateful to have you because you, even though you're outside the art circle, you're bringing into our little world or our big world information about how the larger world operates in terms of public relations and free publicity so that we can move out of our world of art and into the world where the rest of the people are who want to buy our art. So, artists, I leave you in the best of hands. They are all yours, Joan.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. I'm Joan Stewart, the Publicity Hound. I am a publicity expert who teaches people how to promote either with no budget whatsoever or on a shoestring budget. And today, I want to talk about the new rules of press releases, how to write them for art buyers and collectors, not only for journalists. And why do I say there are new rules of press releases? Well, there are. Today, in 2008, the reason and the way that we write press releases is very different from the way or the reasons that we wrote them, say, 10 or 15 years ago. And I want to kick off what the new rules of press releases are and explain to you how they differ from the old rules. First of all, in the old days, 10 or 15 years ago, the only people who we wrote press releases for were journalists. If we had a news item, we would write it up on a press release, and we would usually snail mail the press release to journalists, and then we would hope and pray, and we would cross our fingers that the journalist found the press release worthy enough to print in the newspaper or to talk about on their particular radio show. Those days are over with. Now that we have the internet, we can write press releases directly for consumers, for people who buy artwork. And we can get our message directly to these people without having to go through journalists. Why is that? That's because we can now post our press releases online, where, let's say, a consumer or an art buyer who is searching for a particular type of artwork, like nature artwork. Let's say this person happens to be in love with eagles and they want to buy paintings of eagles. If they would plug paintings of eagles or artwork of eagles into one of the search engines, and that keyword phrase is within one of the press releases that you've posted online, they can go directly to your press release. They can click on a link directly within the release, and they can go right over to your website, and they can buy your artwork of eagles without any journalist getting involved in this whatsoever. So that's probably the biggest rule between the way we used to do it 15 years ago and the way it's done today. That's a big advantage to posting press releases online. One of the other new rules is that in the old days, I used to tell people, make sure that your press release isn't longer than one page. You don't want to go any longer than one page because journalists are busy. They don't have time to read what you've written. They're frequently on deadline. You have to catch their attention in 15 seconds or less. So keep your release to only one page. That's not true anymore. Your release can be, I would say, up to about 500 words. I wouldn't go much longer than about 500 words, but if you wrote 500 words out at your computer in a Word document, it would be much longer than one page. So press releases of longer than a page are okay because, remember, we're not writing them only for journalists. Here's another rule. In the old days, we would never, ever be able to promote something that we were selling within the press release. We didn't want it to sound like blatant promotion, and heaven forbid we insult the journalists because they wouldn't use our press release. And today, we can promote anything we want to within a press release. Whenever you have a new piece of artwork that you're ready to take to market, that you've just posted, let's say, a picture of it at your website, and it's in your shopping cart, and you're ready to sell it, write a press release about it. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that today, because remember, we're not just writing for journalists. I want to stop here and make an important comparison between press releases that we post on the internet for art buyers and customers. Now, remember, these same press releases are often read by journalists who find them online. But I want to make an important distinction between these press releases and the kinds of contact we have with journalists where we want them to write a really big story about us. Let's say you're trying to get into a particular newspaper, a particular magazine. You wouldn't necessarily send the journalist this press release. I think individualized pitches, either by phone or by email, to individual journalists who work for different publications or different broadcasters, that's what gets you the really big stories. Press releases posted online typically won't get you really big stories. And the reason is because journalists work for a wide variety of different media outlets, and they don't want the same one-size-fits-all press release. So the reason that you're writing these isn't necessarily to get big stories about you. It's to get, it's to bring traffic into your website so that when somebody's doing a search for the same kinds of keywords that are in your press release, they'll find the press releases online. And we'll talk about keywords a little farther into this class. Okay, let's see. A couple other great advantages to posting press releases online. Press releases online live online forever. Especially if you use the free press, the for-fee press release distribution services. Unlike paper press releases that we used to send 10, 15 years ago, a paper press release would be sent to a newsroom. A journalist would look at it for 15 seconds, decide they didn't want to use it, and throw it in the wastebasket. Press releases that are posted online, let's say today, they could be found a year from now. And they'll live online forever to be found forever. So that's a huge, huge benefit. Here's another reason. Many of the people whose attention you're going to be capturing with your online press release are, guess who? Journalists. Yes. 9 out of 10 journalists, according to surveys, do online research when they're writing a story. And so as journalists are doing their online research, they're going to come across your press releases. Another big advantage to posting press releases online, and I think this is really cool, you can embed links within your press release to audio or video. And I'll talk about this real quickly. Let's say that you have you're doing sort of a quickie how-to video on how you created a certain type of bracelet. Let's say you're an artist who specializes in certain kind of jewelry. You could do a quick little minute and a half how-to video showing different stages of this bracelet as you've been making it, and you can post that video, get a link to that video, and just embed the video within the press release. That's a great way to attract attention. You can also embed audio links within a press release. Now, if you're asking how do I do this, I use a program called Audio Acrobat, and I'll be happy to give everybody listening to this a list of recommended resources. A lot of the resources that I'm going to recommend during this call, plus lots of others that I use. It's a program that lets you upload audio and video links. And I'm not going to go into a lot of explanation right now on how it works, but it's a terrific program. It's called Audio Acrobat, and it lets you create both audio and video links that you can embed at your website, and you can also embed right into press releases. Okay, the 7 parts of a press release. Actually, it's 6 parts and 1 optional part, so I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. The first part of a press release is called the contact information. This usually goes in the upper left-hand corner. it's the name of the person who either journalists or people who are reading the release can get back to if they want more information. And the contact information should always include a day and an evening telephone number where you can be reached, plus an email address. Next is the headline and the subhead. What's a subhead? A subhead is simply a smaller headline that goes right underneath the main headline. And the reason you use a subhead, actually for two reasons. You want to answer as many questions as you can for scanners. These are people, I'm a scanner. When I call up something on the web, a page, I scan through it real quickly, and I want to read the subheads real quickly to see if it's worth me spending any more time on to read the smaller type. The second reason you include a subhead is because it's a great place to stuff keywords. And I'll talk about keywords in a little bit. The third part of a press release is the dateline. And this goes right at the beginning of the first paragraph. A dateline is the city and the state where you are located from which the press release originates, and also the date you wrote the release. Now, some publicity experts don't like dates put on press releases because they think that it, quote-unquote, dates the release, and if somebody's calling up a press release from 2 years ago, they won't think it's very newsworthy. I highly recommend you put a date on press releases first because it gives the reader a point of reference. They can tell how old or new the press release is. And secondly, all the press release distribution services require dates on press releases. Next is the body copy. The body copy is everything in the press release except for everything else that I mentioned. Okay, that's the body copy. And the fifth part of a press release are the links. I highly suggest if you're going to write press releases and post them online, they have to include links. Otherwise, why bother? And I would put no more than about 4 or 5 links within a press release. You could link back to the homepage at your website. You could link to a page at your website that has thumbnails of some of the artwork that you've created. You can link to an article that you've written, let's say at one of the article directory sites. You can link to a product catalog. You can link to pretty much anything you want to link to, but don't put more than about 4 or 5 links within your press release. Number 6 is what I call the call to action. This is the part of the press release that tells people what you want them to do. And a call to action could be one of those links. It could be click on this link to see a thumbnail sketch of my most recent artwork, to order a free product catalog, call this telephone number, to order tickets for a show that I'm going to be giving, a call here. Click on this link to register for one of the classes. Be sure every press release has a call to action. Tell people what you want them to do. The 7th and optional part of a press release is called the note to editors, and this is for editors of publications. Let's say you are offering yourself as a resource who editors can call on if they need more information on a particular topic. You can put that little note right at the end. At the end of the body copy, you can just put the word end, E-N-D, or sometimes we see the numeral 30. That's the way we used to do it a long time ago. I just put end to let everybody know it's at the end. And then underneath that end, I just put a little note to editors. Editors, if you need sources on the topic of free publicity, please call me day or night at the following number, and then I just give my phone number. Okay? You don't have to put a note to editors. You can if you want to. Okay, what do you write a press release about? I'm going to tick off about a dozen things that you as artists could write press releases about. New art you've created. Classes you're hosting. Any shows that you're participating in. Any contributions or donations that you're making. Many of you probably contribute artwork to, let's say, fundraising programs in your community or fundraising programs for a particular charity that you happen to feel strongly about, those are worth a press release. New clients that you've taken on that you're doing artwork for. Any new joint ventures or promotions that you're doing with other people. Also, any galleries that have agreed to take your artwork. Any tie-ins that you have with upcoming holidays. Anytime you can tie in something that you're doing to one of the upcoming major or minor holidays, that's a great reason to write a press release. How about taking a poll or survey on a particular topic that happens to tie into your artwork? Anytime you take a poll or a survey, that's certainly worth a press release, and you can write another press release when you have the results of the survey. How about writing a release on where you stand on a controversial topic? And I'm trying to think, here's a controversial topic, and it's a topic that I know has been discussed several times, and it was discussed on Friday during the roundtable panel discussion that we have. We got into this a little bit. It's this whole business of artists not putting little images of their artwork at their website. There are many artists who feel strongly against putting any images at their website because they don't want their work stolen by other people. I, as a publicity expert, wish that all of you people who think that would change your thinking, because there was a time a couple months ago when I wanted to use a little thumbnail of somebody's artwork who I had blogged about, and I went to her website looking for the little thumbnail that I could put with the blog post, and there was nothing to be found at her website, and she said she didn't post her artwork on her website because she didn't want anybody to steal the idea. So she missed out on having her art displayed on my blog. So pick a controversial topic and take a stand on it and write a press release on it. Write a press release on any awards you've received. Some of you are speakers, and you might speak to a local group in your community about art or about anything else. That's certainly worth a press release. If you've received a grant, write a press release. Do you have any free samples of your work? For example, do you have a bookmark that shows a particular painting that you've done and has a little sketch of the painting or a little photo? If you're giving away those bookmarks, write a press release. Some of you give free demonstrations of art. Write a press release. For those of you who have had articles written about you in newspapers or magazines or any of the trade publications, that's worth writing about. Have you created a new video that you've posted at YouTube or at your website? Write a press release about it. Anytime you have taken on new clients or celebrated an anniversary, write a press release. So those are just a several ways and ideas that I've given you on things that you can write press releases about. But it doesn't stop there. There are many, 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 many more times and ideas that you're going to come up with maybe that I haven't thought of because I'm not an expert in the art field, but I was just thinking off the top of my head this morning and to try to see how many I could tick off, and those are the ones I came up with. There are actually three types of press releases, and I want to go over each of them fairly quickly. Those of you who are looking for calendar listings, if all you want is a simple calendar listing, either in your local newspaper or, let's say, in a local magazine, or there are many websites today where there are online calendar listings for particular cities or online calendar listings for particular topics for upcoming events, you don't have to actually write a press release for that. You can write just a simple who, what, when, where, why, and how. And you see, like, a lot of calendar listings that have this, you know, who, Joan Stewart, what, free press release writing class, where, at the local Chamber of Commerce, 1234 Main Street, when, 1 to 3 p.m., Friday, January 25th, cost, $25. For more information, to reserve your space, call 262-284-7451. You can write that if all you want is a calendar listing. And those, if it's written in that kind of a format, it really helps the writer or the editor because they don't have to sift through the entire release to find the pertinent little facts that they need to put in the calendar listing. The second type of release is the routine release. Let's say there's a gallery that has agreed to display your artwork, and there's really not much more to say about it other than the fact that this gallery is going to be taking on your work. You wouldn't want to write a 500-word press release on that because that's more under routine news. But let's say you're going to take a stand on a controversial topic, and you're going to write a press release on that. You want something a little bit longer than a press release for more routine news because you're going to want some space to be able to go into what your stand is on that particular controversial topic. And so, sort of use your own judgment. Again, you can write as long as you want to. I wouldn't write more than about 500 words if I were you. So those are some tips on the types of press releases. And I want to take a couple of questions here. Somebody writes, how do I write a press release that will spark interest in galleries or in art areas such as Santa Fe, MN? Santa Fe? I think she means Santa Fe, New Mexico, for possible representation. In a case like that where you are targeting galleries in a particular area, you want to be sure to use the city and state where those galleries are located within your press release. Because if the galleries are searching for artists in their particular area, they might be using the search engines with that particular city and state. So I think that's the question that Sandy was asking. Okay, let's talk about some tips for making your press release easy to read. This is really important because remember that your press release is being posted online, and there are a couple of rules that you have to follow so that people aren't turned off as soon as it pops on to the screen. So my first tip would be to use white space in your press release. Don't write super long paragraphs that appear as great big blobs of gray. That's not attractive. And when I see a big blob of gray on the screen, my eyes just tend to glaze over, and I think to myself, wow, this is going to be hard for me to plow through. So write short paragraphs, and don't be afraid to use white space. Next, I think bulleted lists are a terrific way to take certain types of information and present it in a format that's really easy to read. And if you pay attention to the way newspaper and magazine stories are written, journalists also love to use bulleted lists in their copy. And when would you use a bulleted list? Well, anytime you want to list something. For example, let's say I was going to write a press release, and I want to tell people what the six parts of a press release are. Yeah, I could write a press release and post it online about what the six parts of a press release are. Is it newsworthy? Nope. The six parts of a press release are not something that's newsworthy. But remember, I'm not writing it just to attract journalists. I'm doing it to attract anybody who searches online. So if I was posting, if I was writing about the six parts of a press release, I could bullet them. The other thing that I could do is I could use subheads throughout the press release. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of subhead that you put right after the main headline up at the top. I'm talking about smaller subheads that I can use to break up the body copy. And these are the same kinds of subheads that you see in newspapers or magazines, little 2-, 3-, and 4-word headlines that introduce a new topic that I'm going to be writing about. And these subheads are also a terrific place to post to stuff keywords, and I'm going to get to keywords shortly, so hang on. For press releases that are posted online, there's no reason why you can't use HTML. Now, some of the press release distribution services, the ones where you pay a fee to have your press release distributed, some of them won't let you use HTML. But if you're going to take this press release and post it right at your website, there's no reason why you can't use HTML. And by that, I mean boldface. And in some of the press releases that I have sent to journalists, I have also used the colored highlighter function in Word. It looks like a little felt tip marker where I can take a word or a phrase and I go up and choose the color yellow, and it looks like I'm highlighting it with a felt tip pen in yellow. That just makes it easier for people to read if you want to point out a certain part of the release. The one thing that I will almost never use in a press release is italics. I don't like italics on the computer screen because I think it's way too hard to read. So really, don't use italics. If you have to emphasize something, I would be in favor of boldface type instead. Also, use big headlines. If you're using a 12-point font, I wouldn't hesitate to use a 16-point main headline and perhaps a 14-point subhead. So those are some tips on how to make your press release a little easier to read. Okay, we have a question here. It says, does it make sense for me, given the fact that I'm not a mass market artist, to devote any time to blogging, social networking, etc.? The answer is absolutely. This is not a lecture on blogging or social networking. Those are two completely different topics that would require a whole separate 45 minutes for each of the two. Yes, you definitely should be blogging about your area of expertise because the search engines love blogs, and blogs pull in traffic to your website. On the issue of social networking, there are tons of social networking sites out there like Facebook and MySpace. You should be participating at the social networking sites. Why? Because a lot of people who you're hoping to attract to buy your artwork also hang out at these social networking sites. So you should be there too, and you should have a page and a presence at websites like MySpace and Facebook. And guess what you can do over there? You can refer people back to your press releases. Social networking is not about promotion. Social networking is all about joining in the conversation. But once you start to join in the conversation about something in particular, there's no reason why you can't refer to a press release that you've written back at your website. She also asks, I've gotten tons of traffic to my website in the past through media articles, most recently a profile in the Artist magazine. After thousands of hits and lots of fan mail, nothing has ever resulted in a sale that I know of. So what's the point of spending hours online trying to develop this? Well, one of the big mistakes I see artists, and not only artists, people in general making when they're trying to get publicity online, is they will get articles and they'll be successful in getting articles in magazines, or they'll be successful in pulling traffic back to their website, just like this artist says she was successful in doing. But here's the problem. You pull in all this traffic to your website. Let's say I see an article written about you. I go to your website to find out more about you. I spend about 5 or 10 minutes looking around your website. Not once have you ever asked me for my email address. If you're not capturing email addresses of the people who come to your website, you are missing out on a huge opportunity. If you email me, I'll email you the link for a cool little tool that I use. If you go to my website at publicityhound.com, you'll see a box that bounces down from the top of the screen, and it asks you for your email address, and it tells you that I want the address because I want you to sign up for my free electronic newsletter called the Publicity Hound's Tips of the Week, and if you do, I'll give you something free in return. So in exchange for people's email addresses, offer them something free in return. It can be a free special report. It can be a free download. It can be a free list of tips. It can be a free video about that shows you creating a piece of work in progress. Then, once people have given you their email address, that then gives you the power to market to those people as often as you want to until they say, stop, please take me off your list. I started collecting email addresses about, maybe 9 or 10 years ago. I now have 40,000 email addresses, and I email these 40,000 people at least once a week with my free electronic newsletter that I use to sell the more than 100 products that I've created on Publicity. So the reason that I have a hunch that the reason this artist isn't selling a lot of artwork as a result of all the media exposure and all the great traffic that she's pulled back to her website is that you're not capturing the traffic. It's the same thing as having a bricks and mortar store and having hundreds of people come into your store every day to look at all this stuff and never stopping them to ask for their contact information where you can mail them, you know, information about, let's say, new products that your store is going to be offering. So start capturing email addresses. Even if you don't want to do a newsletter, that's okay. You can use your email list to market to these people when you have a new class that you're offering, when you have something new that you want to show them, when you have a new piece of artwork for sale. So I got a hunch that that's the reason that all these hours are not paying off. All right, now let's go on to photos in press releases and ways to use photos. I think the best way to get people who are reading a release to see a photo is to simply put a link within the press release to a photo that is at your website. And you want photos at your website scanned at 300 dots per inch. The reason is because if it happens to be a journalist and somebody wants to take, let's say that there's a journalist who's reading about a museum exhibit, and your artwork happens to be part of that exhibit, and they want a small little photo of a piece of artwork to put in their newspaper along with a story about the museum exhibit. And the museum sends them over to your website because the museum is pleased with the fact that your artwork is going to be part of the exhibit. The journalist should be able to go to your website and just lift that 300 dots per inch photo, and that 300 dots per inch will be print quality. It'll be good enough even for a magazine. So you could even offer little thumbnails at your website of 300 DPI photos, and if the journalist is interested, after they scan, let's say, the 8 or 10 thumbnails on a screen, they can then download any one that they need. And again, I want to point out, I know many of you are almost paranoid about having sketches or thumbnails of your artwork at your website, and if that's the way you choose to go as an artist, that's your personal decision. But from the standpoint of somebody who, and I can tell you, I many times have wanted to put thumbnails or small photos of an artist's artwork at my blog, hoping to capture attention, and the artist wouldn't let me because they were afraid that somebody was going to steal their work. Just understand that that is going to rob you of a lot of promotion opportunities, especially in the traditional media, because they want photos. They want photos to illustrate stories that they are writing. Let's talk about keywords. Keywords in a press release are very important because if you're not optimizing your press release for the search engines, you're not going to be pulling in as much traffic as you could. Optimizing press releases for the search engines sounds a little bit complicated, but it's really not. All it means is you are using within your press release the same word or words or keyword phrases that art buyers and art collectors and art investors would be using if they sat down and plugged into the Google search engine something that they were searching for. And let's use the phrase nature artwork as an example. If somebody was looking for nature artwork because they happened to collect, let's say, oil paintings of eagles, and they were to plug that into the search engines, if those same keywords that they used show up in your press release, chances are pretty good that the search engines are going to deliver to them in the long list of things your press release. So here are some places to put keywords in your press release so that the search engines will find them. The first place is right in the front of the headline, right at the beginning of the headline. That's where you want to put the kinds of words or phrases that people would be plugging into the search engine to find the kind of information that was in your release. The second place is in the subhead. That's the two or three lines that's under the main headline. The other place you want to put them is you want to put keywords in the first paragraph of your press release, and then you want to sprinkle keywords throughout the body copy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to confuse you, but I want to tell you how the search engines think. Each of the search engines has a different formula or a different algorithm for the number of keywords they are looking for within within the body of an article or a press release. Some search engines want 5% of the body copy to be keywords. Some search engines want 2%. Some search engines want 8%. So if you can shoot for between 2 and 8% keyword density, you're going to be doing pretty well. Don't optimize your press release for any more than 3 keywords or keyword phrases, because it's going to be hard enough to write a press release using 3 keyword phrases. You don't want to have to use 8 of them, and plus you don't want to confuse the search engine. So even if you only want to optimize it for 1 keyword phrase, that's fine too. At the end of the lecture today, in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to give you a resource that you can tap into. It's actually a free tutorial on how to write and distribute press releases for the internet, and it goes into great depth on all the things I'm talking about. And that tutorial actually includes a couple of really helpful tools that you can take advantage of. I think one of them you buy and a couple of them are free, and one of them is a free keyword density analysis tool where you can just cut and paste your keyword into a window, and then you plug in your keywords and you hit a button and it automatically tells you the percentage so that you don't have to be counting words. It's really cool. Okay, your press release is written. Now what do? You have to proofread it. And I would highly urge you to give your press release to somebody else to proofread. I am an editor. I have 22 years experience in the newspaper industry. I can't proofread my own stuff. I don't catch my own errors. So give your press release to somebody else to read. I would also suggest that you tell them to pick up the phone and call any telephone number that's in that release to see if it goes through to the correct, if the correct phone number is in there. Sometimes we transpose numbers, and you don't want a phone number wrong in a press release, particularly if it's a phone number where people have to call to buy something. Next, also have them click on every link within the release to make sure that it clicks through to the correct website address. After it's proofread, now what are you going to do with it? You certainly want to post it to your website, but there are a couple other things you can do with that press release. If it's a press release about something really important, you want to use one of the paid press release distribution services, and here's why. They have deals worked out with the search engines like Yahoo and Google where the press releases that are distributed through their services are picked up by the Google and Yahoo news feeds. The two services I recommend, the first one is for people, artists who are going to be writing fewer than 10 press releases a year. It's called PR Web at prweb.com. The lowest price that you can pay for a press release is $80, and I don't see any reason that you should have to spend more than $80. They have higher price services, but you don't need a lot of the bells and whistles, so just buy it at the $80 level, and you'll be fine, and it will live online forever, and it'll be picked up by the Google and Yahoo news feeds. The second company I highly recommend is for people who want to, number one, be viewed as experts in their field, and two, want to post more than 10 press releases a year. It's a service called Expert Click. That's expertclick.com. It's called Expert Click, the online yearbook of experts. They will put you into their database as a recognized expert in your field, and they will also let you post up to 52 press releases a year at no additional press release distribution fee. That's pretty cool. They'll let you post up to 52 press releases a year. That's one a week. Now, a subscription is pretty pricey. I think it's about, I want to say $900 or $1,000 a year, but if you tell them I sent you, they'll knock $100 off your subscription price. If you tell them the Publicity Hound sent you, because I have a separate deal worked out with them because I send so many people their way. Don't use the free press release distribution services, and here's why. The dirty little secret is most of those services don't distribute anything. They simply post your press release online at their site. That's all they do. They don't distribute it. And so you're going to be missing out on a lot of that Google traffic if you rely solely on the free services. If you want more information, a lot of in-depth information on everything I just covered in this session, you can sign up for my free press release tutorial at my website. I'm warning you ahead of time, it's a very long course. It's actually 89 days, and I would urge you to please stick with it, because by the end, you will know more about how to write and post press releases online than most professional PR people. And you can get there by going to publicityhound.com/press-release-tips. That's press release tips /art, A-R-T dot H-T-M. And you can sign up for the free tutorial, and it will be delivered via email, and you'll get 89 emails for 89 days in a row, and you will be off to the races writing and posting press releases for the Internet. How am I doing, Ariane?
Oh, thank you, Joan. Man, you are on the dot here. That's pretty incredible. Thank you so much. I was taking notes like a crazy woman.
And for any questions that come in afterward, I will be happy to answer them and reply to whoever asked them.
We are just so honored to have you back again. Your material is just full to the brim. Thank you very much.